Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones in, well, right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
Man, right before the kickoff yesterday, Jerry said that if the Cowboys could beat the Jets, especially given all the injury concerns, it'd have to be a real team win. Does what you saw yesterday feel like the epitome of a team win?
Absolutely. I think no question. We played complimentary football yesterday. We did, had great improvement on the defensive side of the ball. We got great pressure. We kept Stroud in the pocket, accomplished what our coaches were trying to do. And then, of course, Dak's just playing at an extremely high level, was getting the ball out, helping the offensive line group. It's no secret to anybody. We had, four starters that weren't able to play yesterday. And I thought, all the guys stepped up that we needed to step up, with, from Nate Thomas to Bass, to Hoffman, to Adeniji. They just did a great job. And then you got guys like Flournoy stepping up as well. So it's a good group. All in all, I think we were missing, especially if you count guys like Overshone, who are on IR, DTR. I think we were missing 9 starters plus Sanders and a couple others. So it was a great job by the guys to really when you say next man up, they certainly accomplished that yesterday.
And Steven, we celebrate it too. Like it's a victory. We're excited. We're happy about it. I feel like Shoddy's very grounded too, though. He has his rule. He celebrates, and then he's very grounded in what he does. Do you like that game was that good for you guys, but you also feel like Shoddy would still say we can get better at some things? Not that y'all were sloppy, but we can still be better.
Oh, we can be better. I'm convinced this is a work in progress. I don't think anyone's satisfied, with where we are right now. We know we have to get better in a lot of areas, and feel like that can be done. I mean, this is a new staff, certainly defensively, as we've talked about, we've had 3 coordinators in 3 years, but I do know our guys are grinding. They believe, that it's only going to get better from here, and we're getting healthier. I know it didn't look like it yesterday, but we do have, a chance to get most of our guys back over the next couple of weeks.
Now, then I'm glad that you said that, because just the ones that I was immediately thinking about were Lamb, Tyler Smith. I know he was ready in case of an emergency. Tyler Guyton, Tyler Booker. Are those are some of the people that you think are possible to be back in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, Turpin. I put Turpin in that group. The guys who might be a little longer are BB and Overshone, but not a lot past the bye. So, this is a team that's getting healthier. Same thing with Hooker. Those 3 are probably the furthest out. I mean, obviously we put Hooker on IR, so he's going to have to miss a minimum of 3 more games. But I do think, the health of this team, the air is up, and, the good news is we get to go back and get better this week. We've got a full week to get out and continue to improve. But I think everybody's feeling and seeing it and starting to get a feel for what Coach Eberflus and his staff want out of the defense. And we've got a long ways to go, but we sure made a lot of improvements, especially in the pressure area, and I think we'll continue to improve in our coverage.
Now, you're just talking about the defense, and you already mentioned Shoddy talking pretty consistently about next man up. With that in mind, what have you thought about the performance of Shamar James these past two games?
Yeah, he's a young guy who's certainly coming. And, you know, speaking of next man up, you said it, Sanborn went down during the game and not even counting him, and had to go into concussion protocol. And, you know, I think Shamar had, 14, 15 tackles yesterday.
Yeah, it was 15.
Depends on who's counting them. But, you know, he's just doing a real nice job playing physical. You know, Maris made a huge play on the punch out. Which I thought was a game changer. They were on their way to maybe tie us up, and we take the ball and score and then convert another score. And, you know, that was a huge game changer, the play he made. So, you know, the guys are getting a feel for it. We have to continue to get better. I know no one's satisfied with anything around here. And as you said, Coach Schottenheimer's setting the tone. You know, he enjoyed the moment, but, you know, we're back hard at it.
You talked about that. The turnover that was forced when the Jets were marching down to potentially tie the game. The possession right before that, Javonte Williams had a hell of a run to keep the drive going. And, you know, we've talked with you for years, and Lord knows we've questioned plenty of decisions and probably asked you questions you didn't love. But I need to take this moment to admit that I was wrong at running back, and y'all look like you were really spot on in your evaluation of Javonte Williams.
Well, I give credit to our staff, you know, Will and his staff and our coaching staff of really pinpointing him. I mean, we are huge fans. We're going to see him this week. I think he went for 200, Rico did, but we made a conscious decision to go for Javonte, even though we had a lot of love for Rico. And just felt like Javonte was the right guy for Shoddy and his staff. And like I said, my hat's off to Rico, too. What a hell of a game he had, and he'll be a handful for us. I know he'll be motivated to come in here and play great, but he also knows we have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
Just because we're on the position, do you feel like you got enough, you saw enough of Jaden Blue to get a good evaluation after his first game, or we have to see a lot more from him?
Oh, I think there's a lot more to come from Jaden. I mean, we saw flashes of what he could do. I tell you, he stepped up and made a hell of a, on a pass protection, made a hell of a block, which we were curious as to how that was going to go. But we can do some things to really get Jaden in space, and I think he's going to make a lot of plays for us. It was great that he got his feet wet, and I know he's going to play a big part of making some big plays for us this year.
I wanted to go back to some of the injury conversation, too. How much does Diggs and Bland's health look like it helped this defense's outcome?
No question. I mean, it's a big part of it. And, you know, they both hadn't been totally healthy. And when they're not, I think Eberflus's thoughts were to, you know, help them out and put them in more zones and cover twos and, you know, help them out that way. I think now that they're getting healthy, he understands that, you know, they're really do a great job in man as well. And then to be able to mix it up, I think it's only going to help us. So, I really firmly believe this defense is only going to get better as the year progresses and the guys, you know, get more and more dialed in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. They understand the concepts. And like I said, I think the air is up.
The other thing, too, is I'm interested in how when y'all interviewed Clayton Adams and Connor Riley and the conversations that we're having, was it a big drastic change you were expecting out of those? Because this is very impressive work that they're able to do, like you said earlier, with a bunch of injuries, but they've been building this for the entire season with this offensive line.
Absolutely. I mean, those were two huge hires, and Shoddy knew it was going to be a big one for him, and we were able to get the pick that he wanted, being that he was the head coach and going to be the coordinator. You could use that, you know, that job title description to be able to get your pick of an offensive line coach. And, you know, he was the guy that, you know, really fit the bill. But one thing we found out about Clayton, or at least I have, is he's a hell of a, you know, he's got a hell of a mind when it comes to coordinating the offense with Shoddy. And when you're a head coach, you certainly need that. Certainly Schottenheimer gave it to Mike McCarthy when he was here. But I do think between him and Connor, we have really, they do a great job. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, the most people at a position on a team. And I think one of the best things Jerry and I have talked about is how, you know, it was we didn't necessarily know we were doing it at the time, but to have two really top-end offensive line coaches helping with the concepts, I think has really paid off for us.
I know the players and the coaching staff will talk a lot about one game at a time, and I certainly understand that. But when you look at, you just beat the Jets, you've already talked about Carolina coming up. This feels like potentially a more advantageous run in the schedule. How important is it, especially in the month of October, that y'all continue to build up momentum and stack up wins if you want to go where we all know y'all want to?
Well, every game's huge. And I'll tell you what, the best way to get really beat in this league is to look past the game. And I can assure you, Carolina, as I mentioned, I know Rico's going to be driven. This is going to be a big challenge for us. And that's all we need to focus on, one game at a time. You get the opportunity to go out. We all know how hard it is to win in the NFL. And that's what we have to do. And Coach Schottenheimer certainly walks the walk and talks the talk when it comes to not looking past anybody. And I know the, you know, 1,000% focus will be on Carolina.
Stephen, Kevin and I, big Wanye Thomas fans on this show. A, what a cool moment for him and his brother and mother yesterday. But B, also, looks like that dude can absolutely play out there.
Yeah, he's just, Wanye's always been a, you know, a top-notch guy for us. He does whatever it takes. He's a great special teams player. Steps up when you need him, like we do now with Hooker, you know, going to miss a month. And it is, that mama has to be proud to have two men playing in the NFL with her two sons, and to have them all out there on the field. Had to be special for their family, and certainly well-deserved on the on Wanye's part and his brother's part.
I know y'all are focused on winning games. We've talked a lot about how well Dak has played early this year, and people have started to wildly speculate about MVP and everything like that. Wanted to get your general thoughts on the fact that MVP seems to have really boiled down to which teams have the best record and how did their quarterback do, as opposed to, like, what did you actually contribute to the team? What do you think about that MVP, like, shift to your team's got to be 12-5, 11-6 to even be in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's a team sport. And at the end of the day, it's all about winning. And I think if you talk to most MVPs in this league, the most important thing to them is winning a football game, not necessarily winning the MVP. And, you know, that's a big part of it. And, candidly, I don't have a problem with it. And I know Dak's number one goal here is to win a championship, to win a Super Bowl. And I know he knows in order to do that, you got to take one game at a time, chop wood, and win games. And, you know, that's what most people in the NFL are in it for, is to try to win the championship. And certainly he leads the way in being that guy. And I'm sure he'd be the first to say, if we don't have a good year, then probably say, well, then I shouldn't be considered. But, you know, a big reason why we're where we are right now and could be even better is because of his play. And I know he's really leading this team. His play speaks louder than words, and we're just fortunate to have it.
I think I know the answer to this, but just so everybody out there knows, when you say this team could be even better, like, you look at this team and this coaching staff and think this can be a playoff team.
I feel like we can be, absolutely. That's what we're in it for. And I do think this staff has done an outstanding job. I think you don't have to look any further than yesterday to see us. As we said, we've lost Sanborn in the first part of the game. I mean, we're down 10 starters, theoretically. And, you know, the coaching staff led by Coach Schottenheimer, you know, or have our guys out there playing winning football. And that's what it's all about. And I know that's how we feel. We feel like, obviously, we've got a lot of room for improvement. We're going to have to play a lot better if we want to get accomplished what we want to accomplish, which is, you certainly can't win a championship unless you get in the tournament, as Coach Barcells used to say. But certainly that's our goal. But it all starts with chopping wood one game at a time.
And Stephen, before we let you go, Kevin gave you a great compliment on identifying Javonte Williams. That was phenomenal work there. Kevin was out on the forefront of James Houston. Would you like to compliment him on identifying him as one of the on the work he'd do this year?
Jerry told me that that's his guy, that he found him. So success has a thousand fathers. And certainly we were actually just watching tape in here with Will and my son, John Steven, and we were talking about, you know, how we found how we had found James. And Will's been watching him since he was a rookie at Detroit. And I think he said James Houston had 8 sacks with about 20% play time.
Wow.
And he's kept his eye on him and certainly doing a great job for us right now.
And you're right. As we know, failure is always an orphan. Thank you very, very much for jumping on with us. There you go. Congratulations on the win. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Corey is in the middle of a conversation and said, I have to go do the show. I'll get back to you. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Glad Corey made me a priority, right?
That's true. That's true. Always, Mick. Always.
I love the way I got to go do the show as if it just started.
It was
too.
Your boss, though.
That's like, okay. I was just sitting here going, oh, I got to turn my mic on.
See? Now, your timing these last 3 days has been absolutely impeccable. Now,
lucky.
There are a lot of, I accept. There are a lot of things to break down in this game, but I wanted to start with this. The Cowboys desperately needed someone to step up in the passing game, and it felt like Ryan Flannoy was as good as anyone could have conceivably hoped for, and probably even better than that.
And out of nowhere, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Second start in his career, first start of the season, and for him to, and I don't know if maybe the Jets didn't think about him, but for some reason, the ball kept going his way. So my assumption was, well, they're making sure Pickens doesn't get a lot of one-on-one coverage, right? They're probably got a safety over the top. And I'm thinking, well, Dak's just going through his reads. And it's like, well, it says to go to Flannoy. And, you know, you got to trust him, right? Because, and he did. And the guy makes that deep catch, and it wasn't easy because the ball was short, and he had to come back and get in front of the DB and then break away. It was absolutely an amazing deal that 4 catches at, 114 yards,
right,
set up the 1 touchdown and showed that, yeah, you can trust him. Well, the other thing is he can't do what he did. Dak can't do what he did. Javonte Williams can't do what he did unless 4 backup offensive linemen play
Agreed.
Their ass off.
Agreed.
Are you kidding me? When have you ever seen that?
No, even Schottenheimer was like, I do not recall an instance like this ever.
That was a recipe for disaster, right?
Agreed.
And thinking that, you know, this Jets, you know, the defense had played decently in those first 4 games, although they didn't win. But they stood in there. They rushed, Cowboys rushed for 180 yards.
Yeah.
With 4/5 of the our backups on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And then Terrence Steele. Last week, Nate Thomas played his first 17 snaps since 2023 in a game when he was at Louisiana. And then he starts, right? Adeniji starts his first game for the Cowboys. Now, he had some experience in his previous starts. Hoffman, the third start at center this year. Bash, his second. And it just kept coming again and again and again. And to me, that was a story of the game, that they didn't create a disaster up front and actually played well. You guys know all the numbers. Javonte Williams, 135 yards rushing. The team, 5 straight since 2016. That's the last time they had that many 100-yard performances. And that was 15, all but one game, right?
Yeah, and that was incredible. And we talked about that season being the season that, regardless of the scenario, it felt like Zeke was going to get the yards.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a guy that, you know, most people, and no fault of their own, that weren't at training camp or watching him in the offseason, it was like, okay, Javonte Williams, right? They weren't expecting much from him. And, you know, we kind of saw a little bit of a spark, and now we've seen it game after game after game. And, you know, the 66-yard run, I mean, he had to break. There was a hole there. He shot through, and then he had to break a couple tackles to keep going.
Corey is disappointed in that run.
Yeah, but you know what, Corey? I heard that, but I was thinking, and I don't know if this, because I'm sure he's trying to score, right?
Yeah.
But he had the foresight to get out of bounds, because they were out of timeouts. And think about it. If he goes down at the 1 in bounds, do you think they're going to get 10 guys downfield in time before the clock runs
absolutely
out?
Absolutely not, yeah.
I was worried about the false start on that, because everyone's running, trying to get into place when they snap the ball.
And so I think it stopped with 19 seconds, if I remember correctly. But can they have all got down there in time at 18 seconds to spike it? I mean, you're talking 5 offensive linemen got to go.
Wouldn't have had to worry about it if he got in the end zone.
Oh, wow.
No, it's great to watch what he's doing. And at the efficiency that he's doing it at, too.
Like, it's unbelievable.
It's a big number, and I think it's a lot of what you just pointed out, the scheme that Clayton Adams and Connor Riley and Schottenheimer are putting together, in addition to the fact that you have an offensive line that's patchwork together and giving him the space and the holes to run through, and then he does the physical part of taking advantage of the next level. I'm loving everything he's doing right
now. And on that run, it was Thomas and Hoffman had a lot to do with clearing the hole that he eventually shot through, right? On Pickens' touchdown, Dak, I went back and looked, pretty accurate. He had 4 seconds to get that ball off. So that's not common, right?
Yeah.
And not only do you have to have time to get it off, right, but you got to have time to look and see, okay, I got to make this decision. I can throw this pass, right? And you know, those guys kind of hung in there. And even on Flannoy's catch, 3-point-some seconds to get the ball off. So those guys were holding up for him to throw 4 touchdown passes. I just thought it was incredible. I wrote about it on Friday, and I was like, okay, if you got to worry, here's the worry, right? But previously, they finished with 3 of those guys in the game. They scored 40 against the Packers, and now you add 1 more. And I was thinking, this is why. And I remember this conversation I had with Brian Schottenheimer when the assistant coaches had their first interviews back in, I guess it was late February, early March. And Clayton Adams is an offensive line coach who they named offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
And that's how he made his bones in the NFL, as a offensive line coach. And then they doubled down hiring Connor Riley as the offensive line coach. They kept Ramon Chinyon as the assistant. So they intentionally put emphasis on coaching that offensive line, and I think we're seeing the fruition of their efforts to say, hey, this offensive line and running the football is a priority, and it's working. So credit to those guys. And I know what they'll say, and I know what Shoddy said. Hey, it's the players, right? But somebody had those guys ready to play. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen. You know, and one of you made the point that it's hard to find five starters in the NFL
yes.
on a team. And even if you find seven or eight guys that can play, normally one at a time, maybe two, but not four all at the same time and play at that level. I just thought it was one of the more credible things I've seen. And I know it was the Jets, and I know they're 0-5, but they, you know, that defense, everybody was worried about Quinnen Williams ruining the offense. He had three tackles. You barely heard his name. So yeah, those guys, that was one of the more, I think Schottenheimer called it unique. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. They had every excuse to scrub right? it up and be like, oh, well, I mean, we were missing all these guys, every single excuse. And they were like, no, that's not going to work for us.
And they ended up with 416 yards offense. I mean, it was amazing to me.
Well, and I know the focus is on this game, but let me ask y'all both something then. One of the potential positives in sports that can come from injury is you can get a better sense of what you do or do not have. Now, hopefully everything gets back to normal and you're super healthy the rest of the year, but it's also football. How encouraging is this for y'all in terms of your sense of offensive line depth? Because I don't want to have to continue to go through this, but I am unreasonably more confident than I would have been otherwise.
That's how yeah. confident I am.
No, yeah. and if something happens, you know, because the big thing is the quarterback's got to trust it, right?
Sure.
Because a lot of times you go in there and you got a bunch of backups and, you know, their head is looking around like, okay, I got better watch over here, right? And he just stepped up and played and went to receivers that, you know, he barely had used. And the tight end now, three touchdown catches in two games. And then, you know, so yeah, and I thought Dak, you know, he talked about it afterwards saying that, you know, when he was trying to motivate those guys, he goes, hey, here's how I got my start. There were injuries
yes.
and I had to step up and play. And that's how I got my starting job. So he said, hey, just, you know, cut it loose. And I thought it was also, you know, kind of indicative of where they're at. Nate Thomas, again, his first start. In the NFL, with 17 snaps of experience, went up to, he came up to me afterwards and apologized. He said, Dak, I can do better.
Ooh.
And it's like, oh, okay, because you did pretty good.
And by the way, did you see Dak's response to that?
Yeah.
He goes, I know that you will.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
And, you know, so they just had guys come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they kind of came together. And look, those four guys had never played in a game together unless it was preseason, maybe, right? And so, and I was watching Thomas, and I thought he was awfully good.
Yeah.
He didn't get overwhelmed. He didn't get intimidated. He kind of hung in there.
Does there need to be a standing role for him then?
Well, maybe. I mean, if you think about the previous game, you know, they were giving him first team snaps and it was at right tackle. And their intention was to give him a series or two in place of Steele. And so he got his first series and then Guyton has the concussion. And now he's got to go from right tackle to left tackle where he wasn't practiced in training camp there. And goes in and finishes the game and now gets his first start out of nowhere playing at Louisiana? Seriously? And I had Clayton Adams tell me, I think it was before the season started, I asked him about him. And he said, this guy's going to be really good. And so, well, maybe he's going to be, and Guyton better keep an eye on himself.
The defensive side of the ball, Mickey.
Yeah.
They were able to get pressure. This James Houston kid, not a lot of people knew anything about him.
We did it,
you
Mickey!
Did. Boy, you guys had it pegged.
They did a really good job yesterday of getting the pressure they needed to make Justin Fields uncomfortable, but then also actually getting to the quarterback, too.
Yeah, and they used a few blitzes that they hadn't been doing. They took advantage of the rookie at right tackle, Membo.
Yeah.
sorry to say, University of Missouri guy, first round draft choice, but he struggled mightily, right? Dante Fowler really took advantage of him, his inexperience. And it was like, well, where did this come from? Well, I don't know if it was because, I mean, for the majority of that first half, I think, I mean, they were playing man in the secondary. They didn't play as much zone until they got up 30 to 6 or whatever. And then they, I think, now I got to ask, but I think they were playing the clock in the fourth quarter. Like, we're going to make sure we're going back to zone, keep everything in front of us. And if they're going to score, they're going to have to go, you know, 80 yards in 5 or 6 minutes. We're not giving up a big play. And I think that led to maybe those two drives for touchdowns that you, you know, really wish you hadn't done. But again, they ended up milking the clock and recovering onside kicks. So it kind of worked in the end. But that's where the Jets got all their yards. But they had done a really good job. Now, I don't know if they sacrificed getting pressure for not playing the run as well.
It kind of feels like that.
I was going to ask Steven about that a little later today, too, because Breece Hall had a pretty good game.
Yeah, no, big runs.
Yeah.
And so, but again, you had a lot of young guys at linebacker. Sanborn goes out with the concussion. So now you're out there with Murray, Leafau, and Shamir James. But good. Play James. The guy's got so much athletic ability. I know he was only a fifth-round draft choice, but this kid's got some talent, and he's got some speed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you said that, because Shoddy has talked about having a violent defense. Sam Williams echoed that at training camp. In addition to all the tackles that you just mentioned, did it not look like Shamir James enjoys some defensive violence?
Yes. Yes. And Leafau.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? So, yeah, get those guys out there. Get them going. And so now, can you do it again? It can't be, you know, one-hit wonders. You got to have consistency. But, you know, they finally gave up only 22 points. I mean, that's a significant improvement. Don't worry about the yards, I guess. They were actually making plays when they needed to make plays, and that's part of playing defense.
Mickey, can you just tell Corey to shut up? I know he didn't say anything, but he just gave me this look again because he wants them to finish the deal, and I want him to shut up. If you could just help me with that.
I just feel like they can still be better, and that's what they're working on, and I'm proud of them.
Well, here's another thing. It looked like Trayvon Diggs was comfortable playing football again.
That's good.
Deron Bland, you know, after missing his two games, played last week. He looked like he was more comfortable. And I think it made a difference somewhat in the secondary that you could put both guys on the outside. And Reddy Stewart has been playing well in the nickel. And then later on, they brought in Elam and Diggs on the outside, and Bland went inside. In the slot on the nickel. And so they were able to kind of mix it up and change things out. So at least they didn't give up 40 points or 38 points or 37 points. It was 22, and I'm sure that surprised everybody. And I know it was the Jets. I know it was Fields. But he nearly beat the Cowboys last year at Pittsburgh, right? They were up 17-13 going into the final minutes of the game.
Well, excellent stuff as always, good sir. We will talk with you tomorrow, and we'll try to rein Corey in then.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. Just remember that them backups played their butts off.
Heck yeah,
as long as you remember that first-round pick for the Jets went to Missouri. All right, there you go. Thank you very much,
Mike.
Right,
I'll
Mickey
see
Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com.
And Adeniji went to Garland, right?
We got a bunch on the right. Prescott under center. Play action. Boot wide open. Flips it out to Williams for the easiest touchdown of the day.
Brad Sham with the call here on DFW Sports Station. Got the entire morning family with you on a Cowboys Monday. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt back from the Meadowlands. Peyton and Carter Freeman right now in the back.
Boy, it sure is interesting that in the segment where we're going to talk about how good Dak is, you We come back playing a stat padding. That's what that is. It's just stat padding, giving him that fourth touchdown. That is, I don't respect it.
18 for 29, 237, 8.2 a pass, four touchdowns. Again, no CeeDee Lamb, no Turpin. Sacked one time, if you want to call it that. The QBR was an 87.9. The QB rating was a 127.4. You know how I can tell that Dak Prescott is playing at another level?
Bobby's talking about it.
There's
hell yeah, baby. I was quiet this offseason.
We have 23 Dallas Cowboy cuts on this cut sheet today. Nice job. Peyton, Kevin Walker, the entire team. Not one of these is a Jerry Jones or Brian Schottenheimer clip praising Dak's play. Now, maybe it was in there, and I'm not saying that they're being negative whatsoever. What I'm saying is, I think this is becoming expected play. This guy is reminding me of Romo towards the end, in which he has all the answers to the test. Brian Schottenheimer said something on Friday with us. And by the way, that is Muscleless and Golden Radio. That has nothing to do with us. He could go on with anyone. And this man is electric and Muscleless, and the way we knew he would be when we heard his early press conferences. But he said something that made me think about the way I used to remember Dak in a game against Tampa Bay and his rhythm. And Brian Schottenheimer said, judge the back foot. Drop, 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 plant out, rhythm. Drop, 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 bam, go, rhythm. And that is the rhythm in which Dak Prescott is playing right now. He's totally in control. It feels like he is going to guide you wherever you need to go, whether it's late in a clutch situation, whether it's without help, and no CeeDee Lamb and no Turpin and four backup offensive linemen. And I just think it's so expected nowadays that reporters are not going out of their way. And maybe they did, Bobby. You were there. Were you there?
Were you there?
And it's just not on this cut sheet, but it's a good thing when it's taking us till 8 o'clock in the show to talk about Dak throwing for four touchdowns, because he has been playing at this level.
Yeah, and I mean, I had I can't remember if I know I put it in my email, but I don't remember if we actually like said it on Friday. I know I said it during the pregame show. Dak is playing at a level that naturally I wasn't as concerned as I normally would be, thinking they had four offensive linemen out. Because I saw what he did against Green Bay, and I saw the way he's playing, and know, like, the kind of...
That Micah game told me everything. Yeah. The whole PFF fight. I'm glad that I had this PFF fight. And I looked at Brian Baldinger and his tape breakdown, because that was masterful. That was artwork in quarterback play, speaking to your point of the sack being a quarterback stat. Because not every quarterback is not getting sacked by Micah Parsons, because there's hesitation and not knowing where to go with the ball. The receivers have to be open as well.
Receivers got
to
be open.
But Dak Prescott owned that game.
4 years ago, that's a disaster
game. Yeah, it is.
Like it's not just another quarterback.
The Falcon game?
It's not just another quarterback. It's if that's Dak 4 years ago, he probably, right. It's not as positive of a game.
Yeah, I mean, like there's, and yeah, some quarterbacks just like, they see pressure. You know, especially as you get older, or if you're just a pocket pass, you get down, right? I'm not taking the hit, live to fight another day.
Yep.
You know, but those same guys also, you know, set protections, put the other players, the offensive line, shift the protection, the running back.
Shift.
Yep. So you make sure that I not pronounce the F.
No, you did.
Okay.
I thought it was close.
But you make sure that the protection is where it needs to be, and then you go away from it.
You got shift in your neck.
I do. Right. you gotta go away from it. You know, it's like you throw, you move in the pocket to get away from that pressure. And that's what like the great quarterback says, especially as they get older, they really become sound at doing it. And that's where he is. He's playing at a very high level now.
And you said last week, throw $10 on it. The Cowboys are going to have to be a playoff team to win this money. But heading into the weekend from Bet Online, he was 66-1 to win MVP. The following quarterbacks were ahead of him. This is before the weekend. Josh Allen, that took a hit last night. Justin Herbert, it's like Bobby made these damn odds. They're so stupid. Mahomes, he's got one great game. They're just betting on tonight and moving forward with his weapons returning. Jordan Love, Lamar Jackson, that's over. Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, no. Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Jaden Daniels, Dak, and Sam Darnold, 66-1. Now you look at Dak's numbers.
Today.
Now, the numbers may not... I'm going to guess. I haven't even looked at his particular ones. I'm going to guess when you're about to read them off, they're not sitting there on top in all categories. It's really just watching him and the way that he's orchestrating everything. But the Cowboys offense is number one in the NFL. Dak is second in the NFL in pass yards. Javonte second in rush yards. Pickens second in receiving yards. Ferguson second in receptions. Nick Karras was throwing out some of these numbers.
Do you want to know where he is right now on MVP? Ninth. So he went from 66-1 to 22-1. Now the guys ahead of him, he's at 22-1.
Yep.
Hurts at 18-1.
That's okay. That's not happening. It's not going to happen with Hurts, the way that they're throwing it.
Goff at 16-1.
Okay.
Herbert at 15-1 still.
That's not going to happen.
Stafford at 14. Mayfield at 14. Jordan Love at 8.5-1. Mahomes at 6. And Josh Allen is just a tick over even money at +110. So basically even money. You should have gotten on it. If you got on it last week, you did great. If you didn't get on it, there's still value there. 22-1. I mean, you still throw $10 down. I mean, that's still 220. You know, you're still doing all right.
He is the NFL leader in completions. He's the NFL leader in attempts. He's second in yards. He's third in touchdowns, and he's third in QBR. I mean, he's playing at a really high level. But yeah, this is going to be, you're entering a stretch here where you've got Carolina, Washington, Denver, Arizona before the bye week.
I said going into the year, 7-3 was the number at the bye week. You had to be 7-3. Now with the tie, it's what, 6-2-1.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to go obviously undefeated. But I mean, if they're 5-3-1,
you'll take it.
Entering the bye, and they're coming out the other side with the Raiders. You feel like, all right, you've now put yourself in a competitive position. And look, their schedule's daunting in the second half. It doesn't look as bad as it did three, four weeks ago, where it's Philly, which is a tough team, but you've played with them. Kansas City, Detroit on the road. Detroit looks like a juggernaut right now. But then it's Minnesota, the Chargers, the Commanders, the Giants. It's not as intimidating as it looked a few weeks back.
Minnesota doesn't look the same. You know, that Daniel Jones is 25-1. Like that's some value there. Because I think if you were to look at it over the first 5 weeks, you know, is Daniel Jones probably the MVP right now? If you were to vote,
I would have said Allen before last night.
I would have thought Allen too. I think the thing with Daniel Jones, like,
I would have said Jonathan Taylor.
Because, I mean,
he scored three more yesterday.
He's having a good, like,
not enough for Medford's fantasy team, but still nice for Jonathan.
Yep. You could vote Lamar based on how bad the Ravens looked yesterday with Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush threw three picks.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, if you're, you know, Daniel Jones, like, just, I mean, he has gone out there and done tremendous, and he's put up good numbers, and they're not where they are.
Sam, they're so happy. Side text me. He's like, our Daniel Jones take isn't looking that dumb. It took a lot of years for it to be. And by the way, Shane Steichen is the reason I'm firing Brian Daboll if I'm the Giants.
Yeah.
Shane Steichen's the one who should have Brian Daboll fired. You're the offensive genius. You're the Bill Belichick disciple. Why is Shane Steichen getting this out of this kid? And we forget about losing Saquon. That's not what hurts. It's losing Daniel Jones and having him doing this. Saquon wasn't going to do anything in a lose-now situation for New York. Dak, last two games, 556-8. I'm going to throw out a little mini topic. Brad Sham has already responded to it. I had a Tolo tweet me and say, should we have dealt someone like Lamb instead of Parsons? And again, this is one game reaction, right? We do this. But Dak, it's meaning to pay a compliment to Prescott in that he can make Ryan Flannoy, or you can score 40 points without CeeDee Lamb, and you have a Daniel Jones. You have a Josh Allen in MVP races without a true one. So it's my answer is still you keep Lamb and you deal Micah, especially with Micah and some of that stuff behind the scenes. I get the question, but I thought I'd throw that out there because they're trying to pay props to Dak.
There's a replacement cost, you know, with both positions. And, you know, you pay a $60 million quarterback to find the next CeeDee Lamb or the next whatever.
Who's the kid who went to Cedric Wilson?
Right.
Cedric Wilson. Dalton Schultz.
Yep. So, but there also is, you know, the pain of a defensive player of $47 million, where if you go look, how many of the top 10 paid defensive ends have a Super Bowl right now? Like that,
I don't know if that's a fair stat.
I don't know.
I really don't know if that's fair.
I honestly don't know if it is either.
Everyone throws it out, though.
But it's like, all right, you know, you would not see the top 10 quarterbacks in the highest paid, you would think, not have been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also got to remember, like, the top 10 highest paid edge rushers. Like, for instance, in recent history, the team that's won all these Super Bowls the most in the last 5 years or whatever, it's Kansas City. Kansas City has paid for their pass rush to be their defensive tackle.
Yes, that's
so true. So they don't pay that position because they've got the pass rush from the interior.
You know, but like, you know, if you go to next week, you know, this team puts up 35, 40 points every game. You know, the over-under next week is only 49 against Carolina.
Bobby, what do you think of just the fun hypothetical of Dak is good enough to do this? It was against the Jets. He's good enough to have the offense be good enough, and you keep Parsons instead of someone like CD.
I understand why somebody may be trying to think through, like, other aspects of how you can make it happen, but no, to me, CD is. I saw.
And Mike is probably more of a lock for the Hall of Fame, as still we're saying Lamb. Mm-hmm.
I saw what that offense looked like in Chicago when CD went out, and it was like, okay, that they can't. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter that you added Pickens and everything else. Now,
they didn't
to be
plan
fair,
for it.
They didn't plan for it. Game. And that's the thing. When they've planned for it, these last 2 weeks, he's 71% completion, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions without CD. So, like, I understand seeing that and going, wow, that's really impressive. I think it also does, felt like there was a little bit of an exposing of the secondary in Green Bay, and we knew the Jets. We talked about it the other day. I was like, I don't know. You've only got four backup offensive linemen. But what I see on tape is throw the ball all day long against the Jets. You can throw it against Sauce if you want to. Like, they are not covering very well.
How did Dak manage to throw for 4 touchdowns with 4 backup linemen?
There's not many teams in the league that can put four guys who don't start into the game and feel confident about going and winning a game, especially on the road, against one of the most premier interior defensive linemen and some good rushers as well. So, I mean, credit from the front office of getting these guys, but just as important, I mean, these guys don't see themselves as backups, as they shouldn't. They've just been waiting on their opportunity. It goes back to April and OTAs all the way through minicamp of guys taking advantage of each rep that they've gotten and knowing that their time's going to come. Our OC Clayton says it all the time. If you don't like your position or if you're a little upset, you know that you're not the guy, wait 10, 15 minutes. You never know. That's the way that this league goes. And those four guys and Flo and other guys showed that tonight, that you just keep your head down, you keep working, you control what you can control. When your opportunities come, you don't have to look around, you can take advantage of them.
And the TV broadcast actually said before the game that Dak told them, yeah, I've had the Great Wall, and we saw the documentary, DallasCowboys.com. He goes, this one could be a deeper line, though. He said that before they went out and protected him like that, that the depth on this, better than Zach and Tyron and Travis.
Depth is so incredibly rare in the NFL at offensive line. Oh, yeah. It is considered widely. If you talk to personnel people around the league, they will tell you, we have more offensive line spots than we do NFL players to fill them. Like, it's not, most of the time, they're not there. And Dallas does have really good depth right now.
Back to the boys at 8:40 and below the belt. We are your official home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Yesterday, all of our power rankings took a hit at the top, and the craziest loss and craziest touchdown of the season, with absolute devastation for a future Cowboys opponent, around the rest of the NFL after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Motion, Jets flinch.
Free play.
There's the flag. Here's a deep pass down the right side. Oh, Flamoy at the 25. A great move inside the defender and down to the 15. Oh, what a nice move by Flannoy, and Prescott is like a dog with a bone when he gets a free play like that.
Brad Sham with the call on your official home of the Cowboys. It's a Cowboys Monday with star up, star down after the 37-22 win over the MESS. And star up, star down brought to you by Wild Fork Foods and Johnson Fitness and Wellness. Let's begin with Ryan Flannoy. Where did this come from? 6 for 114, 19 yards a catch. He had a 46-yarder. He had 9 targets on the day. 9 different targets on the day. 46-yarder before the half. That led to a Javonte touchdown. He had a 40-yarder on a third down. He had a third down clincher in the fourth quarter for the first down that eventually led to the Javonte receiving touchdown. Ryan Flannoy reset us on his story. Star up.
Well, yeah, he was a guy who
was.
You
say your mic too.
Yeah, I got it. I'm on it. He was a guy who, when he was coming out of school, he had gotten a lot of credit from the Cowboys for like just the way that he battled. So he was a guy who he started at Central Missouri. He then went to Iowa Western Community College. Finally got to Southeast Missouri State, and when he got to Southeast Missouri State,
the play-by-play guy yesterday said more on him later. He goes, Ryan Flannoy played at every directional school in the country.
Man, it felt like it.
It's a very good line.
It felt like it. So when he got to Southeast Missouri State, which was like his first opportunity to be around somewhere where like his scouts might regularly see him. Then when he got there, he finally got his opportunity. And the week that NFL scouts were coming through to campus, he broke his hand and he wasn't going to be able to practice. And he was like, I'm not missing the opportunity. And he went out there and he practiced with the broken hand in front of the scouts because he was just like, I'm not. This is like 5 years in the making to get up to this point. And he had issues with COVID. Like during the COVID stuff, he had gotten delayed in terms of where he was going to be able to go to school. And it just gave him a bunch of challenges throughout his college career that I think NFL scouts really respected about him when they got a chance to talk to him. We're like, all right, this kid's tough. And he's obviously a really good athlete and we like what he can do at the position, but this is somebody who if you want to pick somebody on day 3 in the 5th, 6th, 7th round and think, all right, is this guy going to come in and compete? Like, we know he's going to.
It really is an awesome story because, like, when I first yesterday during the game, I was like, all right, I don't remember him in college. Okay, let's see. Did he start at like Ohio State and then transfer down? No. And it was like, no one has ever said, they always say, I want to be a Longhorn. I want to be a Buckeye. I want to be a Red. No one's ever said, I want to be a mule. I want to be a Reaver, the Iowa Western Reaver. I assume that's like a golden retriever kind of mix. It's a Reaver. I want to be a, no one's ever said that, right? They never said that. This is that's an awesome story to see someone persevere like that and then make it on the big stage.
One offer. He had one offer to play Division I football, and it was Southeast Missouri. That was his last chance to transfer, and so he was like, all right, I'm doing it, and he did it. And then for him to fight through what he did, and then he gets to the Cowboys as a rookie, and he gets a calf injury. It was calf or hamstring. I remember last year in training camp, like right at the start, and he's basically on the shelf for all of training camp, and it's like, all right, well, this is supposed to be your opportunity. It's a competitive room. He stepped up in a big way, and yesterday, you get the first catch he makes, which were, all right, he shows strong hands, and then he's showing good balance, and he's running down the field, and he's not going down on first contact. He picks up an extra 15. The adjustment on the catch at the end of the first half was insane, I thought. That was a great job by him coming back on the ball. Right before the pick and such down, he took an end around. He picked up a first down on a carry.
Yeah, 2 carries, 10 yards.
He was really, really good yesterday, and that was something where, when you know the backstory and you know what he's fought through, it was nice to see on a human level.
Dak Prescott on the Reaver.
Yeah, super proud of him. a guy that, second year, very, very hungry, is not afraid to tell you how much he wants it. I had plenty of conversations with him, you know, going back to like those Atlanta trips and just those off-season times of spending together and getting to know somebody. That guy got, he has a lot of, as an old coach, you say, shit in his neck. And he wants to be great, and he wants to, every opportunity and responsibility he can, he wants to make the most of. And I think tonight was just an example of just that, of him getting that opportunity, him making every play that came his way, whether it was the deep ones across the middle, the free play down the sideline, the arounds. He's just showing that he's very deserving of the ball, and he's going to make plays when he gets it. Super proud of him.
Did you say he had poop in his neck?
Oh, that's a saying that it coaches is? Use. S in, you know, S in his
man,
neck.
I heard somebody say to me this weekend.
I've never heard of that.
It's like, it's like his neck. Yeah,
I got a kink in my neck from sleeping last night. Oh, no. Muscle relaxer.
I got some of those for you.
It's like whenever they say he's all pee and vinegar or whatever, it's similar. Say. So it basically just means like toughness and kind of a chip on his shoulder. And
my neighbor, right before half, yesterday it was like, you know, as the Ashadi used those two timeouts, he goes, he better not save them timeouts like they're green stamps. And I had to go look that one up. What the hell is a green stamp? Apparently it was like a collectible item back in like the 40s, you know, back pre-war.
Star up, star down, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods and Johnson Fitness and Wellness.
Look, I think you got it. You got to give it to the pass rush. The defense is all over my star downs. I got star downs. I got more star downs for a 15-point win. When you're up 30-3, I have way more star downs than you should. But the pass rush has got to be on the star up. And, you know, we're Cowboys-centric. I have no idea if it was Fields just sucking as quarterback, but I'm giving it credit to the Cowboys. Star up on the pass rush. You got to do it. 5 sacks.
Yeah, I mean, they what they did yesterday was absolutely insane. That, I mean, this was genuinely, Babe and I were talking about it on the bus, that this was a Jets offensive line that was genuinely good. Like, they had looked really good during the first several weeks of the season. And I was watching the Jets postgame show yesterday, and they were talking about how, like, this offensive line, this is the worst they've looked all year by far. And they're like, this feels like a team that's regressing. But, man, for them to go in there, you've got 8 quarterback pressures from Fowler, 6 from Ezeraku, 5 from Clowney, 5 from James Houston. They were all over the place.
And I want to play a clip of my new favorite D lineman.
3rd and 19 for the Jets at their 30. Fields in an empty gun. Snap is back. They run a stunt. They flush him out. They've got him again. The stunt worked. Who is that fly in the jet? James Houston with his 2nd sack of the year.
Yes, sir. They came in with 5. They had 3 in the first half. Osa with a sack that sets up a 3rd and 10. Then Houston back-to-back. Fowler, Kenny Clark and Houston combining. Sam Williams on a 3rd down, just kind of stomping out any jet momentum at the start of the 3rd quarter. Ezeraku was held on a play, drawing a flag. Bobby tweeting that James Houston has 5 pressures today and he's only rushed the passer 12 times. We are going to ask Jerry Jones and Brian Schottenheimer this week why James Houston cannot get more playing time. Here's Shotty with a little more on the pass rush.
Yeah, I noticed it. I think, you know, there was definitely some more pressure. We were bringing more 5-man pressures, but Dante Fowler, I thought he was incredible today. You know, the speed and agility that he had, but it was multiple guys. I mean, and when you hit a quarterback, especially an athletic quarterback like Justin, and you keep him in the pocket and you don't let him, you know, we let Breece Hall get a couple of runs on us. We got to look at that. But I thought the pass rush was so disruptive. And from having played the position, coached the quarterbacks forever, man, it's hard when you're getting hit like that because it does affect you.
5 sacks yesterday. 5 sacks coming in, and of course, there's a Micah graphic making its way around social media. James Houston has more sacks than Micah Parsons on the season. 3.5 to 2.5. The salaries, of course, are going to get lined up. $1.1 million to $188 million, and Jerry Jones just could not resist again afterwards.
Well, it just shows you that he's got those kinds of skills. He always has it. We know that he needs to work on the run. Guess what? We had a pass rusher around here that the way to box him in was run at him, but he could really rush the passer. This guy's rushing the passer beyond my expectation.
Dude!
random drive-by, random Jerry-by right here towards number one.
It's going to be that way for several years, I think. I don't think this is just going away in a couple weeks. I think he's going to take his shots for the next few years.
So probably. Why isn't Houston playing more?
I mean, I think it is probably run defense related, but I mean, you look at the fact that I know he's on there for three plays yesterday. He was on three run defense plays yesterday. He had the best gap of anybody in terms of yards per carry when he's on the field versus off the field. So when he was on the field yesterday, and it was just a couple of carries, so it's not a very big sample size, it was 2.3 yards per carry, which means they gave up 7 rushing yards on the three times mm-hmm. that he was out there. When he was off the field, they were giving up 7.2 yards per carry. So to me, it's like, I don't totally care. Get him out there. Like, make sure he's out there consistently for pass rusher opportunities because he is your best pass rusher.
They also contain Justin Fields with the legs, costing me money on Underdog. I'm like, he's definitely running for 55 yards or more. No doubt about that. 7 carries, 26 yards, 3.7 a carry. The longest rush he had, Bobby, was 11.
I thought that was on the first drive, too, wasn't it? I think it might have been.
Probably. And I mean, he was not able to get them the way that you would have worried. And every time that he would start kind of moving his legs, he would generally get cornered and just have to kind of throw the ball away. And so yesterday, they did a really good job containing him. Not so much Breece Hall, but did a really good job containing Justin Fields as a runner and managed to get him into some bad positions where they were able to finish off sacks. My star up has to go to the NFC's leading rusher through 5 weeks.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
I formation behind Prescott. Williams the deep back. Hand off Williams coming right. There's a block. Williams tiptoeing through traffic. Williams to the pylon. Touchdown, Cowboys! Touchdown, Javonte Williams!
He has almost 80 yards more than second place in the NFC, Kyren Williams. He has 447 rushing yards at this point. And you're talking about 5.7 yards per carry as the guy who has the fifth most carries in the NFC. Like it's not like he's getting used a decent amount, right, and he is still the most efficient runner.
I'm loving him so much. I'm like dying to hear from him. I'm like, can we get a training camp sit down? Can we get a call in from the locker room? I need to remind myself what Javonte Williams sounds like. Because we're not playing a lot of audio throughout the week from him. We need to get a microphone in front of this guy's face.
He's not a big talker.
The 66-yarder before the half, longest of his career. That leads to the Ferguson touchdown. That ended things basically at 23-3. The turning point touchdown after the Leofau fumble, that was forced. And Javonte had 9 for 108 at halftime. The last time a Cowboy had over 100 rushing yards in the first half was...
It's got to be Zeke.
No.
Pollard.
No.
Dowdle.
No.
Avion Kayson.
DeMarco Murray, 115 at Tennessee. And then Javonte added the receiving touchdown in the fourth quarter, and Jerry Jones sang his praises after.
Well, first of all, we all see he's violent, the way he overused the word. He runs with that kind of strength and that kind of determination. He's very talented, got great balance, but he was behind an outstanding offensive line today, believe it or not. And that was not chopped liver they were running against. That's one of the best ones. And so that and the way we were, our game plan, so that we could keep them off balance with Dak and his leadership out there, pre-play calls, all of that was a big victory for this game. Didn't have to turn out this way, but it did, and did with a lot of people that we weren't expecting to be out there, much less as many of them were out there together. It's one thing for one to play with the rest of the guys that we've been counting on that we without injury, or two of them to play, but to sit here and have a dozen of them out there playing, and boy, Jets needed to win this game too, so hats off to our coaches.
That's the tracking only goes back in terms of splitting up halves like this. Goes back to 1978. That's the first time on record that the Cowboys have had a 100-yard receiver and rusher in the first half of a game. Wow.
Javonte with 135 and 2 touchdowns. Let's keep the Cowboy party rolling with star up, star down, and RJ Choppy with a lot more star downs than you would think after that type of win. He explains on the home of the Cowboys with the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. We continue with your Cowboys report card after this.
Future Chats Hour 2 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Krusty's Corner is coming up at 3:20. Brian's going to deliver some film takeaways, usually at 3:40 every day. So why the change? Brian Schottenheimer's Monday press conference coming up 3:45 right here on your home of the Cowboys. Let's do some Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets going viral from game day. And here on this Cowboys Monday, got a question for you. What do you think of Shamar James? Through his first two NFL games, he has tallied 20 tackles, 15 of them yesterday. Has only one missed tackle on that stretch here from the Twitter account of Brandon Laurie. 95.2% tackle efficiency, the best among Cowboys linebackers. When I'm watching Shamar James, I don't see a guy that I'm expecting to have like an all-pro career. What do you guys see when you're watching him? Like, how much of a find is Shamar James here for the Cowboys defense?
Really good athlete. Certainly flies around. I thought he was all over the field yesterday. I know post-game you had the next-gen stats about the coverage stuff. Did that change at all when you went back and watched the All-22? Did he do a better job? I mean, he was really good, I thought, in terms of making tackles. But
I felt like he gave up every single reception that went his way. He gave it up, and then he just made the tackle.
Yeah. That was,
there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. I thought he struggled in run defense. You know, there were a couple of times where he ran under and around some blocks where when they blocked the, like we always talk about, they blocked the front. They got guys pinned, they got guys turned, and now it's linebackers on blockers. And then instead of like being aware and running, like, okay, I see it, it's coming this way, he tried to go around a block, and now it's Breece Hall's, you know, 10, 15 yards more up the field.
And I think that's the Achilles heel to this run defense. I mean, the linebacker play.
I think the linebacker play is not been really great. I'm going to say that I think the defensive line let you down last night playing run defense when you go back and watch them play.
Yeah, I mean, they were getting pushed around pretty bad.
Clowney, Clark, Thomas, Osa, all of them. There was nobody that... And we talked about it after the game. Remember, we were just saying, well, the metrics are telling you that guys in the field, it was 8 yards of carry here, 7 yards of carry here. The All-22 showed that. They really struggled. They struggled as a defensive line in making those plays.
Now, how do you like a future trio of James, Leafau, and Overshown? If you're looking at that group going into next year's offseason, do you want to spend some money? Do you want to draft a guy fairly high? Or are you like, you know what, we might have actually cobbled together a decent little group here?
I think you got to draft a guy pretty high.
Yeah. I think you do too. I think you need a legitimate Mike linebacker out of that group is what I would say. I think that Leafau, you know, you want to play him. I don't think you want him covered. I mean, covered like a guy, you know, like playing him as a strong side. I think you let him run. Yeah. Overshown, you got to let run. But yeah, they need a true Mike linebacker.
And James in coverage, I mean, that was the issue at Florida. He was a really good downhill player. And blitzing was good.
And he had some blitzes where he got a pressure, and you could see him. They used Murray as the spy guy in this game.
Yeah.
Is what they did. And then they would bring, you know, then like you would see James and others and those guys rushing. But yeah, it was not a good day. I mean, the 15 tackles and stuff, a lot of it is because he's having to make a play. You know, it wasn't.
He's given up a pass 10 yards down the field and he has to tackle
for making those tackles.
No, absolutely.
I mean, Sanborn was missing tackles. I think he was an upgrade over Jack Sanborn.
He needs to play before Sanborn. He absolutely.
No, Sanborn's terrible.
He needs to play before Sanborn.
But none of the linebackers are very good.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's tough right there. And it's, you know, no wonder that you're, you know, going to have games like that throughout the season where you're just searching and looking for somebody. But I think at least you have guys that are doing some stuff well. I still feel like they're missing Overshown's blitz ability as well, Brian. Whenever they send extra guys, it's like they're not really getting
home. Listen, they did something yesterday they haven't done in four other games, and that's rush the passer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the other games, too, they played a little bit better run defense, so you did get an upgrade rushing the passer, but you got clobbered on run defense. Yeah. And fortunately, your offense – did enough to keep them from running the football.
Haven't they put enough good tape out there, though, that you would think, by and large, they are going to stop the run? it's a tough situation once you you know, add a running quarterback into the mix. That changes everybody's instincts.
Man, that wasn't the factor. I don't think so. I think that they handed the ball to Breece Hall, and Breece Hall just attacks holes. It wasn't like, oh, we're jumping out of gaps because we're worried about RPO stuff. It was just straight.
Yeah, but you had
straight
four games of having a pretty good handle on it.
I wouldn't run the ball against Dallas if it was me in the first four games. I wouldn't have run the ball at all. Not the way that they lack pass rush and the way they were covering, the way they were giving up big plays. No reason to run the ball against these guys.
Yeah, I still think the run defense is living a little bit on what happened versus Philadelphia at a time where we thought Philadelphia was going to be able to run the ball. We've learned that Philadelphia can't run the ball on anybody.
This group right here wasn't a compromised offensive line. They've faced some compromised offensive lines last several weeks with guys being out and stuff like that.
Jets are a good run blocking line.
We knew it was probably going to be a little bit of a problem, but I do worry about this run defense, especially if you're going to tell me that they're going to block Kenny Clark one-on-one.
Yeah, because you know the linebackers aren't good.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, if you get to the second level, I mean, that's been you just can't allow tackles. Backs to get to the second level with ease.
All right, up next here on Cowboys Twitter, Javonte Williams, second among all running backs in yards after contact as well. That's 326 over five games after contact. Are you guys ready to get an extension done here? Like, how sold are you on Javonte Williams?
His evaluation is $10.7 million, according to overthecap.com.
That's the type of value he's bringing to you?
Yeah, 10.7. Million.
But yeah, I'm absolutely sold. I mean, this was a player that was a second round pick and is now healthy again. And he's looking like the guy that his rookie year, we felt, okay, this could be one of the best young running backs in the league. And then he has the injury. And now he's got the same contact balance, the ability to break tackles, run after contact. Like, he's been absolutely phenomenal. And he's always falling forward. And he is making people miss. I mean, that play we were breaking down in the post game yesterday, Brian, that was
incredible.
I thought
it was a play of the game for him. You could talk about some of the runs. And he didn't have a whole lot. I mean, the long run. But the run he had where it was third and one and he was trapped behind the line of scrimmage.
They're running out of shotgun.
They were on the Jets 30-yard line or 31, and they
because the next play was the 26-yard touchdown to Ferg.
Yeah, next play was the pass. So he gets a first down. If they don't get that first down, Shoddy might be kicking a field goal there. So they went ahead and he got the first down after getting hit in the backfield. That thing could have been a -2. Very easy.
I would just add that, you know, Rico Dowdle, while he had a monster game yesterday for Carolina, he was really good for the Cowboys last year, 6th in the league at run success rate. And now you have Javonte Williams. I mean, Miles Sanders has popped some pretty good runs. Jaden Blue didn't yesterday. But the point would be, is this replacement level plus light boxes in a good scheme? You know, like, how many more guys do you have to pay a guy $10 million?
He averaged like 4.5 yards against the stack box yesterday. Yeah. So that's a good number for him.
So what's changed for him? Because last year he had a better offensive line in Denver and was at 3-6 in
I don't think he was healthy.
Yeah, I think health.
Sean says he wasn't healthy. Sean's like, listen, the guy's 2 years removed. He's going to be a lot better for you. He goes, we just moved on, you know, and I'm like, well, okay. And he goes, trust me. He goes, the guy has ability. Sean was trying to convince me the guy was a really good player. He really did. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Thanks. You know, but he was right. This guy, when you put the pads and you put him on the field to play games, he's a much better player than he is t-shirts and helmets.
Let's get a Jerry Jones quote from last night. It went viral. It says, the main thing I want to say is the credibility of our coaches just went up today in the eyes of the players, and everybody in my mind should have the same feeling. A great coaching job today. Shoddy saying this football team is made up of the right stuff. That's why we're going to win a lot of games. There was an interesting amount of confidence going into this one, and the guys talked about it last night, how they just believed, even though they were down so many players, there's an aura of excitement around this football team. You heard it from Jerry and Steven last week right here on 105.3 The Fan. So I do feel that way about the coaches, and maybe I'm going to get killed on this on the text and on Twitter, but I feel like the coaches have done such a good job, and the way Dak Prescott is playing, I don't think this is their year, but I think their year is coming. They're at least getting back to an NFC championship game at some point in the next three seasons. Buy it or sell it.
Ooh, well, I think they'll have, they should have the offense for it. Hopefully they can keep some continuity when it comes to the coaching staff and things like that. But they've shown now that offensively they're going to be able to go toe-to-toe even when they're they're outmanned. And not only with the skill guys, but also on the offensive line. So I think offensively, they will have that rocking and rolling. But this defense is going to need a lot of help over those next 3 years before this team you can feel good about actually making a run here.
But yeah, they need three or four players, you know, on defense at least. You know.
Yeah, I would say at least, yeah.
But this offense, with everything that's gone, it makes me feel like Dak plus scheme. I'm making Flannoy look good. Mm-hmm. This is like Romo with Laurent Robinson. Mm. This is you have some things going on now with this team that you could really point, you know, at the flaws of what the front office had identified with your coaching staff over the last 15 years. Like, mm-hmm. these guys just are not giving you an advantage on game day. Now the advantage is so significant that in situations in the past where you lose this many starters, your offense goes completely out. It was like, it was just as good.
I know.
You know?
It was awesome.
So I think that goes to the play calling, the marrying of your run game with your passing game, and keeping defenses guessing constantly on what are we doing? Are we running? Are we passing? What kind of run are we doing? And with the play diversity like that, in the offseason, Chief, when you would talk about how the difference of what a great coaching staff can get you, I thought you were overselling it. This has convinced me. The great coaching staff with average players can produce results week in and week out in the NFL as long as you have the right quarterback.
Yeah, and right now you absolutely do. And you mentioned it, like the diversity of the rushing attack and just the offense in general, keeping defenses on their heels. Everything is rocking right now. And there's no question that even though it was the Jets, if this was a previous coaching staff over the last 15 years, if you do win that game, you eke it out, and you got some crazy fortunate bounces. Probably some special team stuff happened, but yeah, by and large, like you're probably scoring like 17 points, and you're hoping you're beating a team that's constantly giving up 30.
Yeah, it's like, and you know, I'm not an OC, so I don't know all the terminology, but like these trap blocks that the guard is coming over and knocking the living snot out of Quinnen Williams. You know, just a couple of those are going to make defensive linemen think twice about, I'm shooting through this gap. I've done it twice so far, and the opposite side guard has come over and ear-holed me, right? And that's something that, you know, if you call the outside zone and he jumps through that gap, he hits your guy for a loss of two. But when you're pulling that trap or the counter and guys are coming from the opposite side to come through and reinforce, now I got to think about as a defensive lineman two gap in a little bit, because I'm sick of getting ear holed and I'm sick of getting pushed out of position on these traps. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are the things that the Cowboys are now doing that allow them to win when they are outmatched from you know, from some of these great fronts, whether it was the Giants or whoever it is that they faced so far.
And shout out to the fullback stuff, too. Like, I thought, yeah, Lipke played well yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the big third down conversion he had, and Fergie got the block downfield. But special teams-wise, thought he was really good, and he did. I mean, I thought that the blocking also was pretty darn good with Lipke. He's really good at that one-man screen game, too, which they'll throw out there.
Yes, they got a real screen game now. Holy cow.
That's probably their best screen, yeah.
What do you call that, a convoy screen, or, you know,
I don't know. It's like a single, it's like a one-man screen is what it is. That, are you talking about the touchdown or
one to Ferguson.
The one to Ferguson.
Yeah, 27 yards.
Actually, it's interesting because what they did was they pulled the center as the peel, that he came back to block inside.
Yeah.
The two tackles got out.
So Thomas had a big time block, and then Steele's hauling ass out there.
It's usually to the side of the field, wherever you're running the screen, you get those three guys out. No, they brought their center, and they kept their two guards inside to block, and then brought their tackles, which is an interesting way of doing it.
But it's a thing of beauty.
It got everything out clean, though.
It looked to the defense like it was going to be a run going the other way. And that's, you know, that's just beautiful play design. Yeah. Dak has 38 career games with at least three touchdown passes. Now he does surpass Favre for the sixth most ever by a player in his first 10 seasons in the NFL. Could Dak really be MVP? That's a conversation that's out there. And some of the fans that made the trip up to MetLife were chanting that out at him. I think the numbers got to be 11 games to make this legit, but man, that would be outperforming. You really got to go on a run here over these next five games before you get to that nightmare trio. I think it's Chiefs, Lions, and Eagles from like late November in through mid-December. Can you win every game until then? I think you can. Denver's not going to be a pushover. Washington in a couple of weeks is not going to be a pushover. But I think he's in the conversation, clearly. I mean, if Sam Darnold is up in Seattle, then Dak Prescott absolutely is. And I think as this season goes, if you maintain this level of play, as much as the media is into analytics right now, it's just going to continue to speak louder and louder and become more of a safe narrative. I feel like after five games, everything that Dak Prescott has been through, there's a lot of media members that have entrenched opinions, and it's going to take some time in order for them
to. A lot of fans have that too.
Yeah.
They're the fans. We caught this last night in the post game show. You know, if you're a fan of Dak Prescott, good for you. If you don't like that Dak Prescott, well, you know, it's a shame. You should probably like him for how
he's
playing.
At least like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's people that are so dug in right now that they're not going to allow Dak having success.
They don't want to believe it.
They don't want to enjoy it. They don't want to believe it. And that's a shame. I mean,
it's a tough way to be a fan.
Listen, there's things we've said on this show about Dak, but I know that we've acknowledged that how well he is playing.
Yeah.
But there are people that are so dug in that they're like, you know, when the minute but it's on both ways. The people who are like, "Oh, I told you about Dak," and then there's the people like,
"Yeah,
well, I'll never pull for Dak."
This is different enough where it's a point in his career where you reevaluate what you think of the guy.
Yeah.
You know, quarterbacks go through stages in their life. Like, Rich Gannon wasn't good till he hit about 33 years old. And then he was playing at a damn MVP level. Like, things happen. You get in better situations. You decide, I'm not going to let this beat me anymore. And you show up a different player. And I think it's a testament to Dak, but also the greatness of the coaching staff around him, putting him in a much better position to succeed. And it's okay to reevaluate. You know, I think if... you know, you were opposed to believing that Dak is elite up until this season. I'd go there with you.
Yeah.
But through five games, the data is saying he's made a significant jump. The pressure's not bothering him like it used to.
No, it's not. And like I said, you can acknowledge, if you're not a Dak Prescott fan, you can acknowledge that he is playing very well. Even though the team is 2-2-1, you know, he's one of the reasons why you're hanging in there right now with all the things, all the craziness going on. And I just think you have to have that ability to say, hey, this guy he's playing at a very, very high level, and I didn't think he would do that, but here we are.
Yeah. 817, Dak has to show he can do it in big games against big-time opponents. I mean, the Packers, 40 points. What more do you want from Dak there? And then no offensive lineman, CeeDee Lamb out, 37. You know, it's
their worst game was the Bears game by far.
Sure.
Offensively.
And you're going to have
offensively,
those.
Offensively, yeah.
You're going to have CD six plays in, and they weren't prepared for that.
Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking
it?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.